When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We're recapping week two of the fantasy football season, and what a crazy week it was, as we're here with you every day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, helping you win your fantasy football league this season. And Davis, some wild, wild finishes to some games yesterday. Three games in particular catching my eye. Of course, the game we're going to talk about a lot, Miami and Baltimore, no question the way that that ended. The New York Jets with an insane comeback to end up winning their game. And then, boy, I thought the Raiders had that thing wrapped up against the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals found a way to win that in overtime. So it's been some fun red zone watching and fun. Well, actually not. I mean, I had the red zone. I had problems yesterday. But fun football watching, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, Sunday ticket did go down yesterday. That was how I was watching it originally. I had to switch over to the YouTube TV version of Red Zone. So that wasn't that great. The Arizona Cardinals have yet to run a play with the lead this season, so that's not particularly great for them, even though they are 1-1. And Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, to my research, became the first teammates ever in NFL history to each have over 40 PPR points in the exact same game. If you had Tua, Waddle, and Tyreek, I'm going to go ahead and guess you probably won your fantasy football matchup yesterday. Definitely needed those three guys to win $1 million playing daily fantasy football yesterday. Definitely. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I was the high point scorer again, second week in a row in my league. But I think this time around, I'm not going to get outscored by somebody who just went off for 1 week. Having a great start to the fantasy season. Christian Kirk has just been unbelievable. Wow, start the season. All right, let's get to our headlines here on the show. As Davis mentioned, boy, everyone is buzzing after that Dolphins performance yesterday. As Tua throws six touchdowns, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill look like that combo, honestly, kind of like Kansas City does in a way, Davis, with your team, for sure. They look fantastic on offense, not great on defense. Maybe that's going to be their season. Trey Lance will miss the rest of the season with a broken ankle, so enter Jimmy G once again. They were pretty dominant yesterday in their performance against Seattle. Arizona State fires Herm Edwards three games into the season after their home loss to Eastern Michigan. There's some video circulating. It looks like Edwards was told on the field after the game. And Aaron Judge, chasing 61, hits home run number 58 and home run number 59. He's got just under 3 weeks to do it. The Yankees are going to have everything, it looks like, clinched up by the end of this week. So we'll see. I mean, I'm guessing until they get 61, the Yankees are going to pretty much play him every day. But we could start anywhere, Davis. I mean, I guess the Dolphins pretty much a good place to start. The offseason was interesting for them, of course, for a lot of different reasons. It looks like they were chasing Tom Brady. There were some, it looks like they were chasing Deshaun Watson. Their owner gets suspended. People are high on Tua. They're down on Tua. He's a very decisive talking point. And then yesterday puts a performance up for the ages in fantasy, six touchdowns. And this coach they have, Mike McDaniel, is just like, I don't care. I'm just throwing it and throwing it as far as I can throw it. Boy, 42 points in that comeback win.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that yesterday's performance with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle actually kind of proves the thesis behind why they spent the first round pick on Jalen Waddle and why they sent a first round pick out of the door to Tyreek Hill. I don't think anyone could seriously look at that game and be like, Tua was on the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert level. You know, I mean, it's just like Tua, as I've said on this show many times, incredibly accurate passer. But, you know, it's like, I think I saw someone break it down this way. If you can't, as a quarterback, make the edge rusher who gets around his guy miss and then fire off a clean throw, you're a pocket passer. And Tua can't make that guy miss, right? He doesn't really have the awareness. He doesn't really have the agility. I think maybe as a result of that horrific hip injury he suffered his final year at Alabama. But it didn't matter, because when you're throwing to two guys who are as amazing, as fast, I mean, on some of these plays, it looks like Jalen Waddle literally has like suction cups for hands. I mean, it is unbelievable how he is able to reel some of these passes in. It doesn't matter if Tua is the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. If you're throwing it to two guys who are that good, I mean, it just really doesn't matter. And so I think the front office looks vindicated. And by the way, everything I said in the preseason about Mike McDaniels, I was a little unsure. He talked a lot about running the ball. I'm gone. Done. He knows the deal. Super aggressive throwing the ball once they get down. I believe they've been the most aggressive team on fourth downs through two games in the NFL up until this point. Mike McDaniels, he totally gets it. He is a great coach.
Yeah, looks fantastic. And, you know, and basically when the you-know-what hits the fan, McDaniel just says, you know what, that's it, out of the game plan, time to throw to the guys. And I know Harbaugh, Davis, was real upset yesterday with his team saying it can't happen. I mean, I was watching that game very closely. Davis, there wasn't a Raven running at the end of that game after Waddle, after Edmonds, after Tyreek Hill. They were so tired. Because in the second half, they just kept getting the ball and punting. And that was part of it. I mean, the Ravens were gassed. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
They were absolutely gassed. And I think that's kind of where you see the secondary effects of all these injuries they've had in the secondary. Because
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Four defensive backs injured. That means you probably only have five defensive backs. Defensive backs love to rotate, and they couldn't rotate. They just had to keep running after Tyreek and Waddle, which to me seems pretty freaking exhausting.
Yeah, for sure. And you could probably say the same thing about the Jets at the end of their game too, and their big win. Joe Flacco, sort of indicated, at least for 1 week, with his performance in the second half in their win as well. We'll get to our fantasy standouts coming up next. Lots of Dolphins, lots of Jets, of course. And boy, the Lions playing great football too. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you won your Fantasy Football League, congratulations. Of course, there are two games on Monday Night Football tonight, so lots still probably up in the air. We'll have a preview of those games coming up in a little bit. So without further ado, let's roll through these standouts from Sunday's and Sunday night's games in Fantasy Football. We'll start with Tua, of course, who threw for 469 passing yards. Also, six touchdown passes. Did throw two interceptions in the first half, but monster game for him. Speaking of which, my gosh, Lamar Jackson What a game for him yesterday. Set 119 yards on the ground, including a 79-yard touchdown, 4 touchdown passes, 318 yards. One of the best picks I made in fantasy this year was taking Lamar Jackson. He went down way too far in fantasy drafts. This guy is going to get paid. Joe Flacco, I rip him a lot. I should give him credit for yesterday, but I hope this is the end for him with the Jets. 4 touchdown passes, 307 yards as the Jets win. Carson Wentz, horrible first half, great second half in garbage time. 337 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And Jared Goff taking advantage of the Washington defense, but I would say Davis more of Detroit's offense, shockingly. Super aggressive. Dan Campbell has come in, and I don't know how many games they're going to win, but he has also done wonders for that offense since he's been there.
Yeah, I love Jared Goff as a streamer in 12-team leagues. I mean, just getting to play with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think is probably a top-5 asset in Dynasty Fantasy Football, probably, if we were drafting again today, would clearly be a first-round pick. 8 straight games with a target share north of 30%, 6 straight games with a touchdown, 8 straight games with 8 or more receptions. Just if you can get him on your fantasy team, I would definitely do it. Lamar Jackson, again, according to my research, I believe that is the most fantasy points of any quarterback of the last 10 years. I believe 49 fantasy points in most scoring settings, getting over 100 rushing yards, accumulates 4 total touchdowns. And honestly, Carson Wentz looks terrible. Almost no guy I hate watching play football more than Carson Wentz, but he is clearly a fantasy starter right now, throwing to McLaurin, Dotson, and Curtis Samuel. And they're going to be down in these games because the defense does not look very good. I started Carson Wentz over Tom Brady in a league yesterday, and I'm probably going to continue to do stuff like that for the rest of the season with him.
All right, fair enough. If you drafted running backs in the first round of your fantasy football draft, when are you going to learn your lesson? My gosh, this was just a desolate day for running backs. I believe the first 100-yard rusher of the day came at night on Sunday night in Aaron Jones. It's amazing. All right, let's go through the running backs here. There isn't a lot to love, honestly. Nick Chubb had 87 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 28 yards, and also scored. As I mentioned, it took till Sunday night to really get a standout performance. We got it from Aaron Jones. He rushed for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tony Pollard, 43 on the ground, but made up for it with some PPR. Yes, it's sort of sad that we have Eckler listed here after the Thursday night game because there wasn't much else. And then DeAndre Swift, who clearly was a little banged up in this game, and they played him, limited. And Williams, even I saw, still got some goal line carries, but Swift is going to be a monster, I think, in fantasy this year. But yeah, I mean, that's the story, Davis. Like, I mean, what is there to say? If you get 10 points out of your running back, you're like jumping for joy at this point. It was not a good day for backs.
It feels like it's no good days for running backs. Nick Chubb with actually the third touchdown, because remember, he should have gone down at the end of that game against the New York Jets. Chubb should have done the Todd Gurley, the Maurice Jones-Drew, right? You're about to be on the goal line. And Nick Chubb said, you know what? I want my numbers. I want my touchdowns. And it ended up leading to his team losing the game. We love to see the Cleveland Browns lose. I think everyone can kind of enjoy watching the Cleveland Browns lose games after they were the villains of the NFL offseason. Aaron Jones with the massive game, over 100 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. And, Jones and Dylan are both going to be fantasy starters this year. I mean, I was not discouraged by the 18 rushing attempts and 2 targets that AJ Dylan got yesterday. But you're looking at this list and you're going, man, why did I not just draft wide receivers? Why didn't I just draft like 7 wide receivers to start my draft and figure it out at every other position? Wide receivers are the kings of fantasy football now. We have entered into a new era in fantasy football, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, not pictured in our graphic today. All right, wide receivers, we could go, triple deep here with these guys because there was a lot of monster games yesterday. We'll start with Tyreek Hill, who had 11 receptions, 190 yards. It's not a typo. He also had 2 touchdowns in the win over Baltimore. Jaylen Waddle, just as effective, 11 for 171 and 2 touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown was just wide open all game. 9 receptions, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, that's probably who should have been the first pick overall in fantasy drafts, not looking back on it. 11 catches, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. This guy is unstoppable. And Garrett Wilson had a breakout game. He had 8 catches for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. And honestly, we could keep on going. Like I mentioned, Christian Kirk, he was great. He looks like a star in fantasy. There were some others too for me that ended up doing real well. And that just kind of drives the point home. You can draft 3 receivers with your first 3 picks and feel really good about it, I think, moving forward.
I mean, how about your you could have theoretically started your draft Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, T. Higgins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London, right? Would have been very easy to do at ADP. Would have really been no sweat, and you would have looked at your roster with those 5 guys and been like, I'll start Jeff Wilson Jr. I'll start J.D. McKissick. I'll start whoever, you know, I'll start Damian Harris. It doesn't matter. I'll pick up Carson Wentz off the waiver wire. And tight ends, by the way, we're about to get there. That plays into it too. Tight end scoring through 2 games. I mean, it's like Cole Kmet, a top 100 pick, 0 receptions through 2 games. Albert O, my guy Albert O, 0 receptions yesterday in that win for the Texans. Kyle Pitts has 4 catches through 2 games. You know, I mean, George Kittle has not played yet. Dalton Schultz gets banged up yesterday. TJ Hawkinson looks like an afterthought for the Lions. Like it is absolutely unbelievable through 2 weeks. Like if you do not have 4 good wide receivers, you are just not winning your fantasy football league this year.
Yeah. The other tight end on Denver caught that touchdown. I was thinking of you. Yep. Alberto was running right by him at that time. Okay. Well, you know what? If you took Andrews or Waller, you got your production yesterday. So let's give those guys credit because Andrews was great. 9 for 104 and a touchdown. Waller finally had a nice game. We've been waiting on this for like, it feels like 8 months. He had 6 receptions, 50 yards and a touchdown there. That's a lot of fantasy points for a tight end. Zach Ertz, I don't know what the Cardinals are doing. They really don't have a ton of targets. Higby, 7 for 71. Gesicki, 4 for 41 and a touchdown. But yeah, I mean, I think you drove the point home there, Davis. It's like, even the elite tight ends, you're just not sure what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. But Andrews and Waller did come through for you.
Andrews and Waller did come through, which is, I mean, that's pretty much why we drafted those guys ahead of some of these great wide receivers. Andrews in particular, I think you have to be feeling very good if you selected him, because right there at the end, you know, after that 50-yard reception against the Jets in the preseason, Kyle Pitts kind of started to slide ahead of Mark Andrews in ADP. That is definitely looking like a mistake through 2 games. Darren Waller, yeah. I mean, you know, I think it would have been rational if you drafted Darren Waller to maybe be a little worried after week 1 when Devontae Adams posted a 48% target share. That fell way back to earth in that game against the Cardinals. I don't really have an explanation for how that happened. I actually thought it was a little bit strange that Adams scores the 1-yard touchdown and then they kind of just put him back on ice for the rest of the game. And then, you know, Ertz also, with all these wide receiver injuries, Hopkins suspended, Rondale injured, you know, they're counting on Greg Dortch out there. It makes sense that Zach Ertz would get used kind of the same way he was used in Philadelphia, just very reliable, you know, catch it for 7 yards and fall down. But the tight end position, I mean, I have a couple teams in the FFPC main event where we did not draft a tight end in the first 4 rounds. We didn't get any of these guys, and we got 1 catch amongst 3 tight ends. I mean, it is rough out there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I was in a league playing against Kmet, and you know, I didn't see the whole game last night. I went back and looked this morning. I'm like, did he even play in the game? I mean, no targets for, I mean, Justin Fields with a guy like that. That's shocking. All right, we'll take a quick break here on the show. Coming back next, Monday Night Football. We will keep up going here for you here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, we are fortunate to have 2 games on Monday Night Football. We're going to preview those with our next guest, Andrew Erickson, of course, of Fantasy Pros. Joins us now here on the show, along with Davis, of course. We're going to go over some of the pricing tonight and help you potentially make some money. It's great to have you back here, Andrew, on the show. Before we get into tonight, any quick takeaway from yesterday? Maybe something in the numbers that you found that is worth mentioning as we begin here.
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, whatever we saw happen in week 1 was not necessarily a lock to continue into week 2. And it's a reason to not just look at what happened in 1 week as the sample size, and this was going to happen every single week moving forward. You had with the Rams backfield, Cam Akers didn't play at all in week one, and in week two, what do you know? He leads the team in carries. The Texans backfield, Rex Burkhead, 19 touches in week one, two in week two instead of Damian Pierce. So it's okay to, you know, obviously react to what happens in week one, but to not go overboard and bury players after they don't perform or don't get the usage in week one, because things can change in week two. So whenever you're not sure if it's a trend or not, it's always kind of a good bet to buy low on the talent of the particular player and hope that eventually the coaches realize what they're doing.
Yep, I think that's fair for sure. All right, so let's take a look at the quarterbacks, and then I want to ask both you guys this question, in addition to the quarterbacks, how the dynamic of having two Monday Night Football games changes the DFS, basically option going in. But here's the pricing of the main, you know, quarterbacks tonight that you have to pick basically one of the four, with the two game slate. Josh Allen, 7,800 for the Bills. Hurts, 7,100. Cousins is 6,200, Andrew, and Ryan Tannehill is 5,200. So let's go through the quarterbacks here, and then you and Davis both talk to me how you feel about playing now with two games on Monday night.
Yeah, I built kind of some template lineups before coming on here just to get an idea of how you could fit things. And it's really, the pricing is pretty soft, at least when I kind of went in. You can kind of play whoever you want for the most part, especially with the quarterbacks. Like I didn't feel the need, like I got to pay down to get Tannehill in so I can jam in a bunch of these stud players. Like, it's not hard to get in Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, and along with getting in some of their pass catchers. So you're going to have to make some sacrifices somewhere, especially because I'm not necessarily in love with a ton of the higher price running backs necessarily on the slate. So I don't have any problem paying up for Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, because you have two quarterbacks that can add rushing, which Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill don't necessarily bring to the table. I just think the ceilings with Hurts and Allen are so much farther ahead of the two pocket guys.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that analysis is correct. Hurts and Allen are projecting for like 6, 7, 8 more points than Tannehill and Cousins. The one thing I would say is that Cousins is likely to be less owned than the percentage chance that he outscores those guys. The version of the Vikings that we saw in week one were far more aggressive throwing the ball, far more aggressive throwing the ball on second downs. They went for it on fourth down a couple times. Like this version, the Kevin O'Connell Vikings are not the Mike Zimmer Vikings. So one of the things I would note is Vikings prices are going to look, I think, quite different heading into week three and week four. I think we're going to see Kirk as like a $6,800 quarterback. Justin Jefferson is going to be $10,000 on DraftKings in pretty much no time. He's right up there with Cooper Kupp and the Devontae Adams and the best wide receivers in fantasy football. No doubt about that.
All right, fair enough. Let's move over now to the running backs. This is a dicey spot, of course, as we saw. Wasn't a great week for running backs in the NFL. Maybe that will change tonight as Dalvin Cook is priced at $8,000. Derrick Henry just under that at 7,800, and then you're rolling the dice here. You got Madison about 5,600, Sanders 55, Singletary on Buffalo 53, and Andrew Kenneth Gainwell, if you want to take a shot, maybe with a goal line touchdown, 4,500 tonight.
Yeah, for me, I want to try to save some salary with one of these running backs here, and I like Devin Singletary, and it really goes back to, I think that he's going to get the volume in this Buffalo Bills back. For the last time we saw Singletary, it was a three-headed committee between Zach Moss, James Cook, and Devin Singletary. But the one thing Singletary didn't do in that game was fumble. The other two running backs fumbled, and last year, Devin Singletary started out the year as the lead back, and then he fumbled very early on in the season. And then you kind of saw the Bills go away from him during the first half of the season. They kind of flirted with other running backs, and then ultimately they decided to not use any running backs till the second half of the 2021 season when they really unleashed Devin Singletary. So I think just based on what the other running backs did when they got the opportunities, you know, Zach Moss catching 6 passes for basically no yardage, just looking like absolute dust with the ball in his hands, I think Singletary is going to be the bell cow back. And I think that he's going to be a value here at 5.3K that lets you pay up for some of these stud wide receivers that you want to get in your lineup.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think Singletary is one of the better leverage plays on the slate too. You know, obviously if Singletary scores twice, that means that Stephon Diggs is not scoring. Those are touchdowns that Josh Allen is not scoring. You're also not going to hear me say this very often. In fact, probably never, Craig, on a main slate am I going to say this. But given the context of the slate, the Tennessee Titans are big dogs to the Bills. Everyone wants to play Josh Allen. Everyone wants to play AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs. You know, there's really only one tight end who's worth considering in Dallas Goedert on this slate. Derrick Henry on a two-game slate is probably going to project for 20 to 25% ownership. And if I, you know, if you and I tomorrow morning, Craig, are saying, well, Derrick Henry did it again, 28 rushes, 137 yards, two touchdowns, we're not really going to be that surprised. So again, you're really not hearing me say this very often, but Henry is probably the best leverage play of the slate.
All right. And over at wide receiver, we do have one key player questionable for the game tonight. So we'll get to that here in a sec. But the players we know are in are Justin Jefferson at 9,000, Stephon Diggs at 7,500, AJ Brown at 7, Adam Thielen is down to 5,300. That's as low as I can remember him price in a while. Devontae Smith is 4,500. Robert Woods, if you dare, Andrew, 4,400. But naturally, some of Buffalo's ownership tonight is going to be based around the health of Gabriel Davis. Of course, he is questionable going into this game, and that raises, you know, a lot of other questions. Is Isaiah McKenzie a possibility to slide in? You know, maybe take a shot on Osborne on Minnesota instead of him if he was somebody you were considering in the slate tonight. I guess we're kind of going to have to wait and see this one because I haven't gotten a clear indication if he's playing or not.
Yeah, we know that Gabriel Davis suffered an ankle injury, non-contact ankle injury in Saturday's practice. We'll see how he suits up. I mean, I'm assuming that'll be based on his limitations or they go through pregame warm-up. So if he ends up not playing, I think that McKenzie obviously is someone that you want to gravitate towards. But I think Jameson Crowder is also going to play a decent amount as well. So you have their prices pretty close to each other. I mean, Crowder was getting run even in week one while McKenzie was fully healthy. So if you see both those guys see their uptick in snaps, I think that Crowder, if he's going to be at half of the ownership of McKenzie, McKenzie didn't do much besides just catch the touchdown. And if that just happens to be Crowder that ends up catching the touchdown instead of Isaiah McKenzie, then you're going to benefit and have leverage over the field. And I also think Dawson Knox, I know we're not talking about tight ends quite yet, but people kind of forgot about Dawson Knox. But if you take out a big red zone presence in Gabriel Davis out of the lineup, you know, that's what Dawson Knox did last year when he was actually productive. So if everyone's just going to play Dallas Goedert, then you just play Dawson Knox with a potentially limited Gabriel Davis. And people will just be, I think, thinking about, okay, who's the next wide receiver up when it could be really Dawson Knox that actually taking a bigger step in presence in the red zone.
Yeah, I would likely anticipate Knox playing the second most snaps, running the second most routes on the Bills tonight. One name to consider if you're playing in, you know, the millionaire maker tonight, these huge field, definitely not for single entry, but Khalil Shakir, guy out of Boise State, he actually played more snaps on the outside than in the slot during the preseason. And, you know, all due respect to Jameson Crowder, Jake Kumerow, and these guys, like those, we just know what those guys are. They have no real upside. The team is not finding a diamond in the rough, but Shakir was quite good in the preseason and a super productive player in his college career at Boise State. I wonder, with Gabe Davis out tonight, if Shakir is actually the guy who at minimum salary, you know, ends up going four catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. He's probably one of my favorite darts tonight in these contests.
All right, and let's close it out with the wasteland of tight end, which no doubt that's the topic tonight. My gosh, this is going to be a tough one. I think Davis said last week that whoever picks the best tight end wins the money tonight. Maybe that's the case again tonight. Goddard, 4,700. Knox, 4,000. And then, I don't know, Irv Smith, 3,200. Hooper, 3,000. We literally have Jeff Swaim, Andrew, listed here at 2,800 tonight. Any inkling on the tight end position?
Well, Jeff Swaim did out-target Austin Hooper in week one. So, I mean, if you're going to look at a punt tight end, I think maybe Swaim would be the guy if you're just hoping that all the tight ends just don't do anything and you just benefit from having Swaim as the cheapest guy that lets you jam in the other studs. Because, look, there's no elite tight ends on the slate. You know, Goddard is the closest thing to that, but you're basically just hoping whoever catches a touchdown. I think Irv Smith, you know, he had a very limited role in week one, but you have to kind of chalk that up to him just coming back from his injury, not playing for so long. So if he ends up taking on like that Tyler Higbee role that we kind of projected him and forecasted him having in the offseason, then you could see Irv Smith having a much bigger role, obviously a touchdown presence in that offense. But I think I'd probably just still like lean on Knox, especially if Gabriel Davis is out, because everyone's just going to play Goddard.
Yeah, I don't really care what Knox's projected ownership is. He just really is such a good play. I would say, again, trying to get fancy, Johnny Munt ran the third most routes on the Vikings last week. I would be shocked if that continued, like literally shocked. But, you know, we're trying to win $1 million in these big fields. Like, you could probably play a little bit of him and see if he scores a touchdown.
All right. Well, Andrew, again, thank you again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Obviously, head on over to Fantasy Pros for the latest rankings, updates, and of course, helping you win at Fantasy Football, both on the daily and season-long side. We'll look forward to catching up with you again after week three. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, Andrew Erickson with us, along with Davis here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality, and then the Sports Grid 60. And as a reminder, we're right back here on the show tomorrow. We'll have our fantasy standouts from four teams. Two Monday Night Football games tonight, not starting at exactly the same time. It's a brand new day for Monday Night Football. They're trying to sort of create a red zone within two games on Monday night. Will that end up working? Well, you got to have two good games going on at the same time, too, I would think. We'll have more coming up. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before we get to some fantasy and reality, you know, Davis and I used to do this show for 2 hours last year, so we were able to go over all of the teams in fantasy, the studs and the duds. But Davis, with our show now being an hour, we don't get a chance to do that. So we went over the most, as many studs as we could, but I thought maybe we would throw a couple duds out there. I mean, the Denver Broncos, I'm not really even sure what to say at this point. I know a lot of this is going on the coaching. There's no question. But I got to be honest, I watch a lot of that game. I don't think Russell Wilson looks right either. I'm not sure what's going on there, but he does not look like the same guy as he was in Seattle. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I understand the coaching is not good. And then the other one, obviously, and hopefully this is the end for you with Jameis Winston. I don't know when it's going to come, Davis, but can you please come around here and understand that the Saints need a quarterback? They got to draft a quarterback next year. They should have just tanked this season to get a quarterback next year, but my goodness, did he look bad yesterday. Really, really rough.
He did, but I mean, for fantasy, I actually think it's going to end up working out. 334 air yards for Chris Olave, 6 for 65 and a touchdown for Michael Thomas. No Alvin Kamara yesterday. They had Tony Jones out there for 35 of the 67 offensive snaps. Don't really know what was going on there. But also, Russell Wilson, you know, for fantasy specifically, this dude is not running at all. You know, it's gone. He has three rushes through two games. And, you know, again, if we're going to be fair and balanced here, KJ Hamler missed that game and Jerry Jeudy got injured in the first half. So when they're trying to win this game in the second half, he's got Sutton and then a bunch of dudes, you know, Tyree Cleveland, Eric, like just like practice squad guys, you know, because Tim Patrick got injured as well. But right. I am worried. I'm worried about Hackett. I'm worried about Russ. I'm worried about everyone on that team but Sutton and Javonte Williams. I think those guys will be fine. Everyone else, I'm worried.
I think you have to be for sure, so especially against a team like Houston that, you know what they're playing for at this point too. All right, it is time for us to close us out with a little fantasy or reality. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Colts, throw them under the bus too. That was also really poor yesterday as well. I want to add them to the list. Okay, so Aaron Judge hit two more home runs, and it looks like he's closing in on 61. He's only a couple away. I think he's going to get it before the end of the season for sure. He's also, you know, he has a chance, Davis, at winning the Triple Crown right now too. I know that he's still, you know, some percentage points away from the American League leader in that too. But let's just throw out some hypotheticals. Let's say he does get to 61, maybe he gets to 62. Fantasy reality, Davis, Aaron Judge, by hitting 62 or more home runs and winning the Triple Crown would be the greatest hitting season ever. Is that fantasy or reality?
Greatest hitting season ever. I mean, I would have to, you know, really delve into the depths of, you know, the Baseball Reference annals. My instinct, because of offensive environment and how good pitchers are now, my instinct is actually it's probably pretty close. You know, compare it to what, you know, Barry Bonds and McGuire and Sammy Sosa, all these guys were doing. Like, it was a different era of pitching. And then can we really compare 2022 baseball to Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays? Like, it's honest to God, it's like they're playing a different sport. I mean, how hard did pitchers throw back then? You know, were you ever seeing 102 mile an hour fastballs in 1960? Like, I don't, maybe you were. Again, I would have to be a little bit more studious of the game. But it's just, again, I still want to say Ohtani wins the MVP, so it's hard for me to say reality here. But I am gonna say reality. It feels like he is playing at the plate a different sport than everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, are there asterisks involved? Like, you have to ask yourself those questions with these two, because, you know, the season, you know, Bonds hit 70 home runs, he walks 250 times, Davis. Like, I mean, there's just nothing that's ever gonna touch that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, to win the Triple Crown, lead the league in home runs, and hit as many home runs as he has, it's going to go up there as one of the best of all time. Whether it's the very best, hard to say. You know, there were some incredible seasons also, I would say, when players didn't work out and they were not built like Aaron Judge in the 80s and the 90s. And let's also not forget, I mean, Davis, you had, even without a Triple Crown, you had players hitting 40 home runs and stealing 40 bases in the same season. Like, that's a huge thing that's just gone away almost completely in baseball as well. But, you know, for the sake of argument, I'll say it's up there for sure. The best of all, maybe. So a light reality for me here on the show, no doubt. All right, so two Monday Night Football games tonight. And there are some that are out there that they love watching football all weekend long, but they're real excited to only have to watch one game on Monday night and one game on Sunday night. There are others who are like, all right, well, give me as many games as you can, as often as you can do it. And that definitely is going to be the case tonight, as you have two games on Monday night and really good teams. Like, of the four teams, three, you know, have a shot to win their conference, I would say, at the end of the season. So fantasy reality, Davis, the NFL should always have two games on Monday Night Football.
No, I definitely don't think this is true. And maybe this is just coming from my perspective as someone who, you know, my job is pretty much fantasy football. I gotta be dialed into these games. If not watching every snap, I at least have to be cognizant of who wins and who loses and what the relevant fantasy football performers are doing. It's a lot easier to do with one game, right? You can toss the game on. You can, you know, right. You can do the laundry. You can vacuum the living room. You can hang out with your dogs or whatever. Like, pretty hard to do. Like, Craig, you know, when Red Zone is on Sunday, like, I'm worthless. I'm not doing anything. I'm not helping out around the house. Nothing's getting done. I'm just watching football. And and also, it's just like it's a nice kind of end to the week, you know, start of the work week with the one game, and you know, you transition over to everything on Tuesday. Like, we don't need this. Remember when they played a game on Tuesday because of the COVID stuff? Like, just ruined everything. No one, remember the Wednesday game? Do you remember the Wednesday Packers-Vikings right. game because of the ice? I mean, one of the worst experiences of my life was the Tuesday game. We don't need this. Football having 3 days a week is more than enough.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised to hear you say this, too, to be honest. But yes, I mean, for somebody like myself, this is a no-brainer. This is the easiest of all. I am firmly committed on Sunday from, you know, listen, depends on my kids and things I have going on, but it's from approximately 1 o'clock Eastern, definitely till 4 o'clock Eastern, and then usually I take like a half-hour break or whatever and then pop in until 8 o'clock Eastern. This is a huge commitment to have two more games on Monday night. The great thing about Monday Night Football is that if the game is great, you're going to know. You're on social media. All of a sudden, it's like second quarter. Oh, this is a great game. You know you got to turn it in. You know what the other great thing is? A game like last night where you know I'm done. I do not need to watch that game last night. Whatever happens, happens. I'm out. Fine. I know the NFL doesn't want to hear that. They want me to be watching from the beginning to the end. But there is no possible way that I want to commit to more games on a Monday Night Football. So I'm with you. Fantasy for me. Every once in a while, cool, no problem tonight. Yeah, I could dig it, but not every single week, no. Just end it for me on Sunday. If Monday's great, pop it on. If it's not, halfway through, I'm out and on to the next day, especially with the baseball postseason starting. All right, Mike Gesicki, who was the subject of a lot of trade rumors in the offseason for the Miami Dolphins, and honestly, with all of the fun that the Dolphins have had at the start of their season, really hadn't been that much a part of it. Until yesterday, where he ended up scoring a touchdown, jumped really high, by the way, back in the end zone, came down with the ball, and won a huge touchdown for them in that comeback win against the Baltimore Ravens. And then, as you could see with sort of his touchdown celebration, it looked like he did what was called the gritty yesterday. Now, Davis, you'll have to get people familiar with this also before we take a step further, because people may not know what we're talking about here. So fantasy reality, Mike Gesicki yesterday did the gritty.
Yes, he did. And he did it in the loosest definition. So, Craig, this is like a pretty popular dance. Justin Jefferson sort of popularized it for NFL celebrations. He does the best one. This is the dance that Adam Schefter was doing on the field last season when he injured, I believe it was, his MCL. So I got reality. He did it, but he only did it because that was like sort of like you could tell he was doing it. But he certainly did not do it very well. Great touchdown reception by him, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an 8-foot touchdown, it looked like yesterday. So after the game was over, Gesicki said that he did do it. So this is a reality that he did do it. But he also said that it looked a lot better in the mirror than it did yesterday on the field. So apparently he was practicing for this. So this is definitely a reality. He definitely did it. But in the end, Davis said, and he's 100% right, the touchdown catch looked a lot better than the celebration at the end of the game. But I would add, Davis, as we close it out here on this segment, I don't know what we could have asked for the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. And you know me, baseball is what I do all the time. But if you can't wrap your arms around what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, we could have gotten complete crap the first 2 weeks. You never know. And this week could be it. In fact, they could have all looked like Sunday night's games. But the comebacks in these games and the way that they are going down to the wire, I just kept thinking to myself, my goodness, it is so great to have this back, right? Like that was exactly what I was thinking yesterday watching these games.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we got some pretty bad games in week one. I think, you know, one of the things we definitely have learned is that these teams that don't play their starters in preseason at all do kind of start their seasons a little bit slower. I mean, funnily enough, the Cincinnati Bengals, who have looked god-awful through two games this year, they also looked pretty bad to start the season last year. The Bengals did not play any of their guys in the preseason. They're trying to figure out their offensive line. Joe Burrow, you know, last season was coming back from the ACL. This season, who knows? And we, you know, we've gotten some good upsets. You know, no one had the Cowboys winning that game. No one had a tie between the Indianapolis Colts and the Texans in week one. You know, but yeah, football has been fantastic. It's amazing to have it back. Of course, you do look at a lot of your fantasy football teams and you're like, it was so obvious that Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to be this year's Cooper Kupp. Like, what are we doing? And which is it's kind of fun. You know, it's fun to do the postmortem of some of the things you got right and you got wrong. But the NFL, I think we're pretty lucky that the games have been so good thus far.
Yeah, they definitely have been. You're right. The late slate last week in particular wasn't very good. And you know, be honest, this late slate wasn't fantastic either. But, you know, in the end, as crazy as the Ravens Dolphins was, and as crazy as Cleveland was at the Jets, I got to tell you, I thought the Raiders won that game, man, like several times. Like, you could sense the Dolphins had some momentum, maybe they'll win. You could sense the Jets were building some momentum. I never felt like Arizona was going to win that game until it ended like that in overtime. That was the one.
No, I mean, I thought I was sitting there like, you know, when is Cliff Kingsbury's number going to get called? Like, you know, when is he going to have to go talk? You know, when is he going to have to go to the principal's office? I am absolutely shocked by the Arizona Cardinals. Like, I think it is the worst sin you can commit as an NFL head coach is have a very good quarterback and make his job harder. And it seems like Cliff is making Kyler's job harder.
Yeah, as much as they added Hollywood Brown and I guess they'll wait on Hopkins, that's another team I'm really worried about that they need to go back at it again, get an AJ Brown, get somebody else really, you know, at the end of the season. I guess it doesn't have enough weapons, but man, he played great at the end of that game, Kyler Murray. I was texting my brother. I'm like, what the heck, Kyler Murray? Like, maybe we should go play baseball. My God, he's playing terrible. But yeah, he came back and won that game. The Raiders got to be stunned today after losing that one. All right, coming up next is time for the Sports Grid 60, and then Kevin and Donnie with the early line. I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
While we were live on the show, Buccaneers running back Leonard Fournette sends out a tweet this morning apologizing to his fantasy owners that he did not score a touchdown, but says, "Don't worry, my touchdowns are coming." Here's Davis. Here's his Sports Grid 60.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, every offensive snap, I mean, it just looked like these guys were trying to move, you know, 500-pound barbells or something. Like, getting 3 yards on offense. I'm watching Tom Brady throw to guys whose numbers start with four. Don't think Tom Brady has ever targeted a number 41 before in his career. Mike Evans gets ejected. Like, what is Tom Brady doing here? You know, his wife clearly doesn't want him to play. He's not practicing on Wednesdays, right? He's just taking Wednesdays off. Like, if I'm Tom Brady and I'm looking around the room, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, they're just, it, everything about this Buccaneers, the eight quarters they've played so far, it has just looked like a lot of effort. I am worried about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I think the only reason to feel bullish on them is that the NFC has no good teams, basically.
Yeah, it almost feels like the Bucs will sleepwalk through the entire regular season and hope they could catch lightning in the playoffs, because they have not looked great. Speaking of which, we talked a lot of positives. Here's one negative, and Davis mentioned it earlier. 13 sacks for Joe Burrow? Are you kidding me? After getting to the Super Bowl, there is this narrative that the team that loses the Super Bowl always comes out of the gate slow the following year. Boy, that has definitely been the case with the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 0-2, and they can't protect Burrow? What exactly did this team do in the offseason? I guess they threw a bunch of money at some offensive linemen that isn't working, but they got to get this thing fixed really quick, because Burrow cannot go down like Andrew Luck. We don't want to see that happen with him. Guy is an incredible quarterback, and the Bengals have to get this fixed immediately. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks, of course, to our friends at LTN and our great graphics department. For our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. The Early Line is on next for 2 hours, and then I'm back with you here on Newswire at 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll be back on the show tomorrow recapping Monday Night Football and also the waiver wire and injuries. Have a great day, everyone.